Hey, good morning, everyone. We thank God that we can consider once again our communion with the Lord. And thus far, we have considered what is communion with the Lord. Right? We have established that the communion with the Lord is based upon our relationship. In fact, the relationship that God has established with us. Right? And that relationship is not only that of servanthood, but also of sonship. Right? That is our privilege. And we also have considered the essence of our communion with the Lord, and that is truly fellowship. Right? It is a union, it is a sharing in the things of Christ. And we also saw how this fellowship, right, is characterized by worship. Right? And that is the manner in which we commune with the Lord. We commune with the Lord by worshiping Him, right, through prayer, through the reading of God's Word. Right? All these things we do in worship of the Lord. And finally, we also saw the occasion, or also the expression of our worship or our communion with the Lord, that is seen in our living. Right? So when we live righteously, when we live uprightly, right, that is not only the result of the communion with the Lord, but in order to commune with the Lord, we ought to be righteous and holy. We need to forsake sin. Okay? So that is what we considered concerning the communion with the Lord, in terms of what is communion with the Lord. And yesterday, we also saw our need to commune with the Lord. Why must we commune with the Lord? And in fact, it is a privilege, right? It is something that we already should do, right? As a gift given to us by the Lord, a privilege that has been given to us by the Lord. But even more so, right, we see how much we need the Lord's presence in our life, right? That is the first thing that we consider. We need God's presence with us, and that's why we must commune with the Lord. We need God's praise, right? We need to praise the Lord, right, as our duty, right, as creatures on this earth, right? Our duty, our purpose is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever, right? That is our purpose and function of our lives, right? So therefore, we need to commune with the Lord because we need to worship Him. We need to praise Him. And finally, we need God's protection because we are living in a hostile world. Right, we are living where enemies around us abound, seeking to pull us into sin, right? Pull us into the world. Right? And that is why we need to commune with the Lord. And later on we will see, because this communion with the Lord is also a renewing of our minds. Right? It is the changing of our thinking, our philosophy, our worldview, right, to the things of the world, how we view the things of this world. Right? We need to continually renew our mind and make sure that we have the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ is revealed to us in His Word. And yes, primarily, right, when the Bible speaks of the mind of Christ, it speaks of the mind of humility. But it also speaks of the mind, or the spiritual mind, that understands spiritual things. Right? It is a mind that is able to not only understand God's Word, but also is able to obey God's Word. Okay, so that is what we have considered thus far. And today, what we want to do is we want to consider some practical steps, right? So having understood all these things about communion with the Lord, and I pray that you say in your heart that, yes, that is my desire. I want to commune with the Lord. This is what I want, but now tell me how. How can I do this? Well, that is where we come to our passage in Psalm 77. Right? In fact, you can take, I believe, any psalm, right, and pattern your communion with the Lord after that psalm. Right, but we'll just take Psalm 77 as an example, right? And unfortunately, due to the lack of time, we cannot go deep into this psalm. But what we will do is we will see how, through an overview of this psalm, right, just a brief outline of this psalm, right, what the psalmist did in his communion with the Lord, and then how we can pattern our communion after what the psalmist did in his communion with the Lord. Okay, so first we want to see just the pattern of communion, right, throughout this entire psalm, right, how the psalmist commune with the Lord. Yeah, and the first thing that we see from verses 1 to 3 is his prayer. Right? In fact, the entire psalm is a psalm of prayer. Right? But note here how he cried unto the Lord with his voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. Right? So this describes his communion with the Lord as prayer. Right? So he was praying to the Lord, and he had that confidence that the Lord would hear him. Yeah, and of course, this object of prayer is God Himself. Right? But what we will see in the rest of verses 2 and 3 is that he had this trouble in his heart. Right? The reason why he came before the Lord bringing his petitions is because he was troubled in his heart. In fact, he was so troubled, right? The Bible tells us that his soul ran in the night and ceased not, my soul refused to be comforted. Right? He was in a state whereby his soul could not be comforted. He was anxious, he was worried. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Right? And that was how the psalmist felt, right? Even at the point of his communion with the Lord. And that is something that we also need, we can draw on already. Right? And that is, when we commune with the Lord, yes, there is an optimal condition whereby we can commune with the Lord, whereby in the morning we have, everything is peaceful, right? There are no worries, no troubles, no distractions in our minds, and then we come before the Lord and then we do our quiet time, we commune with Him. But there are times in life whereby there will be worries. There will be distractions. Perhaps you can put away all your physical distractions, but the distractions go on in your mind. Your soul is troubled. And not only troubled, but your soul is overwhelmed. And oftentimes then we give ourselves the excuse, right? Then, oh, I'm not in a state to commune with the Lord. Right? Let me calm down first. Right? Let me sort these things out first. Then I come and commune with the Lord. But no. The Lord wants us to bring these troubles to Him. Right? And in fact, the way that we get rid of these troubles, the way that we overcome these troubles, is to commune with the Lord. Right? So it is not to then use these things as an excuse not to commune with the Lord, but to follow the pattern of the psalmist. He was overwhelmed, he was troubled, and that is why he sought the Lord. That is why he communed with the Lord. Right? And so the Bible then goes on to say, right, not only did he pray, right, that is the first step, right, and just as a note, later on, right, we will, after laying out the outline for this psalm, we will see how we implement these various points, right, so I would refrain myself from further explaining here, right, but just note the first thing that we see here from verses 1 to 3 is that of prayer. Okay, now, from verses 4 to 9, what we see here is the psalmist's reflection and meditation. Okay, and in verse 4, the Bible tells us, "Thou holdest mine eyes waking, I'm so troubled I cannot speak." Right, so here the picture is the psalmist laying in his bed in the night, and yet he cannot sleep because his soul was troubled. And then in verse 5, "I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times." So in such a time, right, when he was troubled, when he sought the Lord in prayer, what did he do? Right, the Bible here tells us the first thing that he did was he considered the days of old. Right, so what the psalmist was doing in the midst of his trouble and in the midst of his communion with the Lord is that he was thinking upon, meditating upon what the Lord has done in the past, right? The works of the Lord in ancient times, right? So not only in his lifetime, right? Not only how as a young shepherd boy, if this was King David, right? It's a psalm of Asaph. Right, and Asaph was one of David's musicians, right? But nevertheless, whoever wrote this psalm, right? The psalmist pondered upon the life that he had or the way that the Lord worked in his life in times past, right? And then not only that, he also considered how the Lord was working in ancient times, right? From the time of creation to the time of the people of Israel and so on, the psalmist considered the workings of the Lord, the faithfulness of God throughout this entire time. Right? And furthermore, the Bible then goes on to tell us from verse 6, as he pondered upon these things, as he meditated and reflected on who God is, he also reflected upon himself. Right? And that is what verse 6 tells us. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Right, so the psalmist not only reflected upon God, on who he is, but he also had self-introspection. Right, he searched his own heart. Right, in other words, he had self-reflection. Right, and how did he do this self-reflection? Right, note here, it was a diligent search. Right, it was not a haphazard, half-hearted self-reflection. Right, that we often do in our quiet time, sadly. Right, we You know, sometimes when you do, for example, the RPG, right, and at the end of the RPG, there are questions for you to meditate upon, right, and then we read the question, then we just, in our minds, mentally assent and say, ah, yes, or yeah, no, okay, and then we get on our day. Right, but what the psalmist did was not that. What the psalmist did was that he made diligent search. He communed with his own heart. He really searched his own heart. Why am I feeling this way? Right? I understand, I acknowledge that I'm troubled. I acknowledge that I'm worried about these matters. But why? Right? Why am I feeling this way? And note here, from verses 7 onwards, this is what he starts questioning of himself. Right? He then questions himself, and also at the same time, this encourages him. Right? He says, will the Lord cast off forever? Right? And will he be favorable no more? Right? So why was the psalmist struggling? Right? He was worried. He was troubled with the circumstances in his life. And he had to remind himself, why are you troubled? Is the Lord has the Lord forsaken you? Will the Lord forget you? Will the Lord leave you alone? And of course, all these are rhetorical questions. The answer, yes. Or rather, no, right? The Lord will not cast you off forever. The Lord will not be favorable no more, right? That means he will continue to be favorable. Is his mercy clean gone forever, and doth his promise fail forevermore? Well, no. The Lord does not lie. The Lord will always keep his promise. Right? And that was how the psalmist reflected. And then in the end, he had a conclusion, right? And that's what you'll see later on from verse 10 onwards. I said, this is my infirmity. Right, so in other words, yes, I'm going through this struggle. Yes, I'm going through this situation and difficulty. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. So that means he will still trust in the Lord. He will still remember who the Lord is, and he will not doubt the Lord. Right, and so that is what the psalmist did. He did. He had self-reflection. He also reflected on who the Lord is. Right, so that is the second thing. Right, so not only prayer, right, in the communion of the Lord, but also reflection and meditation in the communion with the Lord. Now, the third thing that we see here is reading and remembrance. Now, of course, reading here is supplied, right? It's not exactly from this text, but later on we will see how this is applied and how this can be applied to reading of God's Word. Right? The Bible here says, right, in verse 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work, and talk of all thy doings. Right, and of course, the Bible tells us these things. Right, how do we know the works of the Lord? How do we know the workings and the wonders of God? It is from His Word. And the psalmist was acquainted with God's Word. He understood what God had done in the life of the nation of Israel and his own life. He understood who God was. And he remembered these things. He meditated upon these things. In other words, he thought on these things. He mused upon these things. He mused upon how great God is. And that's what verse 13 onwards tells us. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is great? Who is so great a God as our God? And the idea here of God's ways being in the sanctuary speaks of His holiness. Right? The ways of God are holy and just and upright. And God is a great God. Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. Right, so the psalmist now understood who God is. He remembered the works of the Lord, and he meditated upon these works, and he understood now the greatness of God. And all these things now welled up in praise to the Lord, right? So not only prayer, right? Not only reflection, but also now reading and remembrance, right? Knowing who God is and remembering who He is, and then now leads on to praise. Right? The Bible says, in fact, the praise already began, right? In verse 13, right? O God, who is so great a God as Thou art, right? All these things are praises to God. And in verse 16, the waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee. They were afraid, the depths also were troubled. Right? And the psalmist will explain how the nature itself trembles at the presence of God. The clouds poured out water, the sky sent out the sound, thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven, the lightnings lightened the world, the earth trembled and shook. right? So this is speaking about how the whole earth is under the control and domain of God. The whole earth trembles at the presence of the Lord. Then why do you need to fear? Yes, you are struggling in your situations, but remember, God is in control even of creation itself. And that is what the psalmist, how he got that assurance. And in fact, he goes on to say, thy way is in the sea, thy path in the great waters, thy footsteps are not known. Right, the way is in the sea, right? If you would step into the sea, right, can you see the footsteps? No, right? And that is the point over here. Thy path is in the great waters. Right, when a ship goes upon the sea, right, yes, initially you can see the trail that the ship leaves behind, but soon after you cannot see the trail anymore. Right? You cannot tell where it came from, where it is going. Right, and that is the idea here. The Bible tells us that God's ways are not known to us. Right, we cannot expect and anticipate what God may do or what God may not do. Right, yes, He acts according to His character, right, in conjunction to His character, right, but His ways are not known to us. His secret ways are not known to us. Right? But the Bible tells us in verse 20, thou leadest thy people like a flock in the hand, by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Right? God will lead His people. Yes, God's ways are not known to us, but He will lead us. Right? And that was the assurance that the psalmist could have at the end of his communion with the Lord. Yes, he was troubled. Yes, he had all these problems and difficulties in his life, but he at the end understood that God is the one who leads him through all the trials of this life, and he could rejoice, he could praise the Lord. And in fact, that's where we go back to the first verse. He cried out to the Lord with his voice, and he gave ear unto him. But he had the confidence that the Lord heard his prayer. Okay, so this is the pattern of how the psalmist commune with the Lord. Right now, we want to apply these four things into our communion with the Lord. Right, and in fact, we can break down our communion with the Lord into these four parts. Right, and for easy remembrance, right, P-R-R-P. Okay, so every time when you do your quiet time, right, or when you commune with the Lord, right, make sure you fulfill these four things. Right, P-R-R-P. Prayer, reflection, reading or remembrance, and then praise. Okay, so remember that in communion with the Lord, we must do these four things. Okay, so first I'll touch on these four items, then at the end, some other miscellaneous questions that you may have concerning quiet time. Okay, so first, prayer. Right, so when we come before the Lord in our communion with Him, right, when we seek Him in His Word, right, before we start reading God's Word, right, we must first begin with prayer, because we cannot understand God's Word without the Holy Spirit's enabling. We cannot approach God and understand God's Word if we still have unconfessed sins in our hearts. Okay, so that is why we must begin with prayer. Okay, so when we pray, right, we are praising God, right? So we offer up our praises to God, right, for who He is. We thank Him for who He is, right? We thank Him for the things that He has done in our lives, right? That's thanksgiving. So there's praise, there's thanksgiving. Then there is also confession, right? We confess our sins. And then there's also supplication, right, where we bring forth our petitions before the Lord. All right, okay, so prayer has these four items. Now, the question then is, okay, what if I don't really know how to pray? Right, or what if I'm struggling with, you know, finding the right words to pray, or just approaching God in general? Then how? Right, if you do struggle with prayer, or if you want to also improve in your prayers to the Lord, one very simple thing that you can do is to pattern your prayers after what the Bible prays, right? Or the prayers that you find in the Bible. Right? Just very simply, for example, if you look into the Psalms, right? The Psalms are prayers. Right? You can just pattern your prayer after what the psalmist here says. Right? You, for example, you take verse 13, right? And you pray, O Lord, our God, or O Lord, God, my God, your way is in the sanctuary. You are a great God as you are my God. You are a God that does great wonders, and you have declared your strength among thy people. And you have redeemed me, you have redeemed thy children, and I trust in you. Right? In just something simple like that, right? We pattern our prayers after what God's Word has said. Right? In fact, the more you study of God's Word, right, the more you'll be able to pray biblically. Right? And we know that such prayers will be accepted and heard of the Lord, because they are the very words that the Lord has given to us. Right, in fact, it's very interesting. You see, the book of Psalms, right, is an entire book, yes, of praise and song, but it's an entire book of prayers. And the Lord has told us how He wants us to pray to Him. Right? So He gives us this book, He asks us, He commands us to pray to Him, and then He says, nah, this is how. Right? Follow the book of Psalms. The Psalms is a book of prayer. Okay, so that is how we can pattern ourselves in light of these prayers, right, and make sure that our prayers are acceptable and pleasing in the Lord's sight. Okay, and of course, some more practical tips, right, make sure that you are in a conducive environment, right, to seek the Lord, right, as much as possible, put away all distractions. I know that this may not be always possible, right, when you're living in a space that other people are living in also, right, and sometimes if you do not have your own space, your own room, right, people can be walking about, can be making noise, it can be not so conducive, right? So if as far as possible, find a conducive place to seek the Lord, right? It can also not be necessarily in your home, right? You can go out somewhere to just have a quiet place to seek the Lord, maybe downstairs in the void deck or something like that, right? Just for you to seek the Lord, right? To have a place where you can commune with the Lord, okay? So, and the second pointer also is that we can write things down. Okay, so the things that you pray for, right, the things that you ask God for, what you can do is you can keep a prayer journal, right? So I know it's not may not be so applicable to everyone, right? Maybe not everyone works in this way, right? I myself have tried also to implement this prayer journal thing, whereby I write down the things that I've prayed for, and then also when the Lord answers, I write it down, right? But for me, that didn't really work, right? Or maybe I wasn't so diligent to upkeep that, right? But that's something that you can do, right? Some people do that, right? They write down for them to remember, right? Remember what the Bible here tells us. We ought to remember the works of the Lord of old, right? And the works of God in our life. So remembering how God has worked in our life is very important, right? So remember how the Lord has answered your prayers, you write it down, right? And it also helps you strengthen your faith. Right, so in times where you doubt, when times where you struggle, maybe even in times where you doubt your own salvation, right, you look back into how the Lord has worked in your life, right, the Lord's presence in your life, and you really cannot doubt how He has been there with you. Okay, so that is for prayer. Now, when we go on to the next step, which is reflection. Right now, the following steps are not necessarily in, you don't really have to put it in this order. Yes, you ought to begin with prayer and end with prayer, right, but the rest of the steps can be moved about. Okay, so the second step is that of reflection, right? So reflection is meditation, right? Meditating on who God is, right? So that comes in conjunction with your reading, okay? And so that one I will touch on later, right? But also reflection of ourselves, right? And so that is where we ought to be very honest with ourselves, right? And actually, we must understand that God already knows our hearts, right? There's nothing that we can hide from God. Right, so there's no need to hold back certain things from our reflection before the Lord, but we can be very honest before the Lord. Right, of course, we need to be honest with ourselves. Right, we cannot be deceiving ourselves with our current state or our spiritual state that we are in. Okay, so we can search ourselves, ask the Lord to also search us, right, to see if we have any sin in us, right, and if we have sin, we repent. So another thing you can do also, you can write these things down, right? Of course, don't have to share with others, right? Write it in a place that you can keep it private, right? Write down the things that you are struggling with, right? Your sins. Right? In fact, you can, what I did is I create an Excel spreadsheet, right? So all the things that I'm struggling with, right? Then how the Lord has, what the Lord says in His Word, right? To overcome these things. And then what are the steps that I'm doing to overcome these sins, right? So this is the way that we can go about, right, reflecting upon our lives, and then also making sure that we will take steps to now obey the Lord, right, so that we're not always stuck with the same struggles, with the same sins, right? The Lord wants us to grow, the Lord wants us to progress. He has given us His Word that is sufficient to do that, right? So we ought to take these steps to help us to obey His Word. Okay, so the sins that you are struggling with, your struggles that you are facing in your life, right, can be struggles that are not sinful in nature, right, but maybe your struggles that you face in school, your studies, and even worries about the future, right, all these things you write down, right, just like the psalmist, right, he had all these troubles, all these worries, and then he went to approach the Lord, right, so your sins, your struggles, and then also how the Lord can strengthen you, right? And that is what the psalmist did, right? He asked questions, right? So that is another thing that can help us, right? Ask yourself questions, right? What are the sins I'm struggling with? Why am I struggling with these sins? What are the things that are causing me to fall into these sins, right? So question yourself, right? And you search your own heart with questions, and the Lord will also help you, right? Of course, do all these things with prayer. And also, just as a caveat also, right? Don't slip also into the other extreme, whereby you go into a kind of a introspection that is harmful, right? Whereby you start doubting the Lord, whereby you start questioning God's grace towards you, okay? So yes, there is a degree of introspection that the Bible commands of us. We need to reflect, we need to think upon our lives, the struggles that we may have, the sins that we have committed, right? But don't then let that spiral into doubt, right? Doubting the Lord, right? Remember always how the psalmist, when he asks questions, right? It is not just, why did I do this, right? Why did I do that, okay? Then after that, he says, God must not forgive me, right? I'm so sinful, right? The Lord is no longer with there present with me, right? Don't let that spiral into that. But like the psalmist, right? His introspection is an introspection that is not separate from the Lord, but it is an introspection unto the Lord, okay? And that's why he says, will the Lord cast off forever, right? So he's causing himself to look back to Christ. So yes, even in your reflection, you may see, wow, I'm so sinful, right? I've done so many wicked things before the Lord. Right? But then look to Christ, right? That is the purpose of your introspection, right? So you see your sins, and then now look to Christ. Christ has fulfilled the law for you, and he now enables you to obey him. He is merciful and gracious to forgive you of your sins, right? And that is how we should search our hearts, right? So we search our hearts, and then we ask the Lord to lead us into the ways of righteousness. Right, so look to the Lord even as you reflect. Right, don't reflect without and apart from the Lord. Okay, that can be very dangerous. Right, that you can spiral into doubt and unbelief. Right, remember that as you seek these things, it is not to pinpoint these things and then now to do these things to earn your salvation. Right, your salvation is already earned and secured for you, right, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right, and this is something that I want to stress, right, because it can oftentimes spiral into doubt. Okay, so take note of this. Yes, reflect, but always reflect unto God, right? So that is the key thing, right? So it's not to, maybe I don't reflect so much. No, it's not that. But you sincerely, honestly reflect, and then you always turn back to the Lord, right? Point your reflection back to the Lord. Okay, so that is reflection. Now, next, reading. Okay, so reading, of course here, reading and remembrance, right? Speaks of the reading of God's Word, right? That must be your primary diet, your primary spiritual diet, right? Yes, there are resources there to help us, right? Resources like the RPG or like Gethsemane has the 365 morning devotions, right? So all these things are good resources, right, to help aid you, but they are only aids, right? Your primary diet must be God's Word, right? Of course, this doesn't necessarily mean that you have to, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to read huge chunks of the Bible in the morning, right, where you do your quiet time, right? Sometimes I understand that may not be possible, right, to read entire, like, chapters upon chapters, right? But nevertheless, right, what is important is that you still must read God's Word, okay? Don't neglect the reading of God's Word, right? When I was younger, when I was a small boy, right, sometimes, right, when my parents ask me, okay, go and do your quiet time, then I would just, okay, I go and read the RPG. Then I say, okay, I've done my quiet time without even reading the verses, right? And that ought not to be, right? Our primary diet must be God's Word. Okay, that's what God has stipulated and said, that we ought to renew our mind, right? How we renew our mind is only through the Word of God, right? Yes, there are other things that can help us. You can listen to a sermon, right? That also can help you, right? You can use all these resources, right? But you must get into the Word, right? Even if you listen to a sermon, let that also be just an addition, right? Get into the Word yourself, right? Search the Scriptures, right? That is what the Lord wants us to do, excuse me. Okay, so there are many resources available. Another thing that you can do, one that I'm doing currently, is the Bible in a Year, right? So, and what really helped me was to get a Bible, right, that had the divisions according to the day, right? So there are Bibles that are specifically for the yearly Bible reading, right, whereby by the day, right, they segment, right? These are the chapters that you read in the Old Testament. These are the chapters that you read in the New Testament, and then also in the wisdom literature, right? The Psalms and Proverbs, right? So that is something that can be helpful, right? For me, that really helped me to discipline myself to read God's word every day, right? For the most part, as the Lord enables, right? So that is something that you can look into, right? The Bible in a year or other reading aids that you can help. Can help you in your communion and understanding of God's word. Okay, so these things are there just to help you to understand God's word better. Okay, but you yourself, when you read God's word with a mind of Christ, with a spiritual mind, right, read it with an engaged mind. Okay, so don't just read it and gloss over it, but read it engaging your mind, right, analyzing, thinking upon what is being said in the text, right, and what do you want to engage your mind with? Well, as we said yesterday, right, what the psalmist helped, or what the psalmist pondered upon, right, and even in our psalm today, is who God is. Right, so when we read the Bible, right, our tendency is, you know, we read and we always see, okay, where is the verse that is for me, right, to encourage me today, right, and that's how sometimes we read. Right, but that shouldn't be the primary goal, right? Why do we want to commune with the Lord? Remember, we are communing with God, right? We want to know Him. We want to know who He is, right? That is the primary thing that we should be looking for when we study God's Word, right? Try to find out, what does this verse, what does this passage tell me about God? Okay? And that must be your first thing, right? You read, you ask yourself, does this tell me about God's faithfulness, how God works, right? What aspect of His character is highlighted over here? Right? Then you think upon it, right? So that's your first thing. Right, then secondarily, sure, how these things can encourage your heart. Right, but oftentimes we put it the other way around, right, and we elevate ourselves even in our communion with the Lord. Right, so communion is not just about trying to take things from God, right, but it is trying to understand who God is and then also giving Him praise. Right, and that is the last thing. Okay, so when we read God's word, right, to remember it, you can write it down also. Right, and if you have questions, things that you don't understand in the Bible, right, don't just gloss over it, right? But try to find the answers, okay? And of course, sometimes you may not be able to get to the answers immediately, right? In fact, sometimes you study God's word, you see something that you don't understand, and without even asking, the answer comes, right? I don't know whether you've experienced that before, whether it's in a sermon or something, right? The answer just comes. The Lord gives you the answer, right? So pray for understanding. Pray that the Lord will help you to understand His word. If you don't understand, you can try to search for answers, right, and keep up with your reading of God's word. Okay? Now, finally, praise. So praise can be done through prayer, okay, whereby based on what we have learned about God, right? So we have prayed, we have reflected, we have now read God's word, and we have seen, oh, all these things that teach me about who God is. Then you end with prayer, right? When you end with prayer, right, what you can do is you can praise the Lord. Right? You can say to the Lord, Lord, I thank you for being this, right? All that you have learned from what you have read today, right? And use that as the springboard for your praise to the Lord. Okay, you praise God for those exact things. Okay, and then of course you can pray that the Lord will help you through the day, right? And remember, that's based on what we have studied yesterday, right? The struggles that you may face in the day, the challenges, the battles that you may have to fight spiritually, right? You pray and ask the Lord to enable you and strengthen you. Okay, and another thing that you can do is also to sing. Okay, and this maybe don't have to do it all the time, right? Or only when it's maybe more convenient for you to do so. Right, one manner of praise that we can offer to the Lord is through singing. In fact, this is what the psalmist did, right? He says in verse 6, I call to remembrance my song in the night, right? And then also elsewhere in Psalm 56 and also Psalm 88, right? It talks about how the psalmist sang to the Lord, right? So that is another aspect of our communion with the Lord that we can do. Okay? And what our family tries to do is that during our family worship, right, we'll sing a psalm, right, to the Lord, and then we will read God's word. Right, so that's something that you can do also, right, to sing in praise to the Lord. Okay, I know my time is running out, but some miscellaneous items, or one miscellaneous item that you may have, right, in your minds is, then when, right? When should we commune with the Lord, right? What is the time that we should commune with the Lord? Does the Bible say that we must do it in the morning, or can we do it at other times, right, when it's more convenient? Well, I would propose that we do it in the morning because of what we have discussed yesterday, right? So if you remember yesterday, what we talked about, our communion with the Lord, right? The communion with the Lord is to help prepare us for the day ahead, right? And that is what Psalm 5 tells us also, right? The psalmist sought the Lord in the morning, right? So before we begin the day, right, we seek the Lord first, right? And of course, this may not, maybe because of the busyness of your day or maybe because of the time allocation, right, you may not have as much time in the morning as, let's say, in the evening, right? But you should still at least seek the Lord in prayer, right? And if possible, read a portion of scripture, right? Maybe it doesn't have to be a long portion, maybe just a short verse or two, right? Something to fill your mind to meditate upon throughout the day. Okay, then at the end of the day, maybe when you have a bit more time or more extended period of time to study God's word, right, then you can sit down and go through a larger chunk of God's word and study it. Okay, so that is something that you can do, right? Or if best possible, right, take that morning hours. Right? In fact, actually, if you wake up earlier, right, there are less distractions. Right? People are not awake yet, and the environment is much more conducive to seek the Lord, actually. Right? And of course, even more so than that, we need God's presence and help to seek the Lord throughout the rest of the day. In fact, if you look at the Psalms, right, Psalm 5 says, seek the Lord in the morning. Right, Psalm 77 here, he was praying at night. Right, and then Psalm 55, verse 17, right, just very quickly, Psalm 55, verse 17, the Bible here says, as for me, I will call upon God and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud and he shall hear my voice. Right, so when should we commune with the Lord? Okay, not just in the morning. Morning, evening, and noon. Right? All the time, in other words. Right? Pray without ceasing. Right? Of course, you can set aside that quiet time that you seek the Lord with. Right? But all the time. Right? Our life is a life of communion. Right? That is what we must always remember. Okay. So, now that we have known what communion with the Lord is, why we need to commune with the Lord, and how we can commune with the Lord, the question that remains is, will you commune with the Lord? And I pray that at the end of this series, that you will truly commune with the Lord. So if you have any questions, further questions that you may have, you can ask me personally, or I will do my best to answer, right, and to help you with your communion with the Lord, right, as the Lord enables. Okay, so let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this series of messages that teaches us how we ought to commune with thee. Lord, we pray that thou will forgive us for the times that we have not communed with thee in this manner. And we pray that you will help us, that we may, through the study of your word, grow in our understanding of thee, and then also to now seek thee and to grow closer to thee. Lord, we pray that you will help us through the busyness of the things in this life not to forget thee, not to be distracted and to fail in our communion with thee, but to always remember that we are walking with thee, that you will help us to pray without ceasing, and in any instance whereby we have pockets of time, that we will truly seek thee and commune with thee. And so, Lord, we pray that you will continue to be with us and help us and draw us nigh unto thee, even as we seek to draw near unto thee. We pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.